All right, the Super Bowl is in the books, and the Ira Kaufman podcast rolls on. 2019, it's officially the 2019 season, Ira. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. The star of the show is Ira Kaufman, and we're presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Sage, a lot to get to today, a special guest today, a little bit later as well. But how are you, and what'd you think of that Super Bowl, Ira? Your Sage thoughts?
Well, everybody's saying it was awful, In the first half, there was no action. There's no question about it. But, you know, if you're a real football fan, a real football purist, Steve, you develop an appreciation for what the Patriots are doing. I'm already on record Monday's column saying this is not a team of overwhelming talent. I think the Rams, on a purely talent basis, are the clear winners of this game. But it's not enough. Talent doesn't win by itself. You just gave Bill Belichick 2 weeks to prepare. And by the way, I don't like the week. I don't like the idle week in between the championship game and the Super Bowl. I don't like it. Belichick loves it because it gives him extra time. Goff looked like a young quarterback. I will say this. He had that glassy look in his eye, and I didn't necessarily see that same kind of look in Patrick Mahomes. Gives me a lot more confidence in Mahomes going forward. He never stopped fighting. He put points up. We'll never see this again. We'll never see this again, what the Patriots have done. The raging debate is who's more important, Belichick or Brady. You're never going to solve that debate. Belichick won 11 games with Matt Castle, but Brady's Brady. Didn't play great Sunday, but when it counted, beautiful pass to Gronkowski. So before the playoffs started, or midseason, not a lot of people thought the Patriots were going to end up being the last team standing. Steve, what do we learn? Never count those mother effers out. Just never do it. We're still here. We're still here. That's what Belichick says. And by the way, I got to give Belichick a lot of credit because he's drab at the podium, brief. He's one-word answers, but not on Monday morning because I happen to be watching it. I go, let me watch Belichick at the podium Monday morning. First Edelman talked as the MVP, and Belichick comes on. It's like one of the first questions to Belichick. How the heck did you find Julian Edelman? He was a quarterback at Kent State. How'd you find him, Bill? Well, there wasn't a one-word answer from Bill Belichick. He mentioned a guy who I've known for 40 years in this business. My very first night, September 20th, 1976, United Press International. I was a sports clerk in the Daily News building, Steve. You know that building.
Young Sage.
East 42nd Street. With the big globe in the lobby.
Used to be a lot of hookers outside there.
Never mind that. There was an automat on the corner. I think it was the last automat in Manhattan. And here I am, you know, I just turned 22. And we had a hell of a sports department. And sitting in the sports department that night was a guy named Rick Goslin, who would leave for Kansas City a year later and then and go on to Dallas and become a real draft guru, a guy who NFL teams would call on a regular basis in the months leading into the draft to run names past Rick Goslin. What do you think? And Goslin would know stuff about these guys. And here comes Belichick. How'd you find Julian Edelman? Well, it's funny you asked that. I first heard about him through a guy named Rick Goslin. I don't know who asked who, but maybe they met at a combine. And, of course, back then, the combine was not what it was now. It was smaller in scope, and I think they had a private conversation.
It was still pretty big in 2009, not what it is today. Edelman was drafted in 2009, but still pretty big. But the media does have like pretty easy access to the big guns walking around.
And, of course, Belichick had worked with Goslin prior to that, you know, about guys. Goslin said, hey, there's a quarterback at Kent State. I don't think he can play quarterback in the NFL, but he's gritty, he's smart, he's tough. And he knows what Belichick's looking for. And he goes, you might want to take a look at this guy. Next thing you knew, Belichick scouted the guy. I think they scouted him twice. But that shout-out to Goslin, it just made my day. I thought it was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, Ira, it's really a fascinating tale. So, of course, my first question is, have you talked to any coaches recently to give your take on players, you know, not just who to get rid of, including the general manager and the head coach? The Glazers didn't listen to you. But no, seriously, have you ever talked to John Gruden, for example, about a player, given your thoughts?
I think John Harbaugh called me on Tuesday, and he asked me about Ronald Jones, and I hung up on him. think I hung up on him. That was enough of the conversation.
A fascinating story. And, you know, obviously the media access is so, we know, you and I both know how much Dirk Cutter read everything.
And they all deny that they read anything. Deny.
Well, they deny it, but yeah. Then they come and talk to you about stories, and, you know, Lee's getting texts in the middle of the night about buried nuances and paragraphs and things.
Sometimes from ownership, wondering what the heck's going on, which is interesting.
But, no, seriously, coaches pay very close attention to this stuff. Greg Schiano used to tell us that his father was completely addicted to Joe Bucks fan, was always sending him stuff. This is a great story. Schiano told us, I don't feel like I'm breaking a big confidence, but he asked us about some of the ads that he was seeing on Joe Bucks fan, which were, you know, like, hey, you know, Asian dating, find a Russian babe, that kind of thing.
Ashley Madison, isn't she on there, I believe?
Anyway, this is going back to, you know, years ago. So I said, well, Greg, those ads are all tied to your browsing habits. So that's those national feeds. They're reading what's in your browser and suggesting an ad that you might be interested in.
Brilliant. That's a brilliant answer.
I said, so he's like, really? He said, that's from my home computer. I'm like, well, I don't know what your kids or your wife are doing, but
that's outstanding.
You know, so it was a fun moment. But you
that,
know,
that is ultimate respect when Belichick calls you out like that.
Yeah. Phenomenal thing to hear. It's just kind of fun, you know, and it lets you know how, as we enter draft season, just how dicey and up in the air and a crapshoot the whole process is on the draft when you've got, you know, a guy like Bill Belichick. And the irony of that, and I wrote about it today on Joe Bucks Fan, Ira, the irony is who's on staff with Bill Belichick at the time Gosselin makes the suggestion? Jason Light is working for the Patriots at that time. So,
and there's more irony, Steve. This is a sad commentary, but Gosselin, who has an incredible reputation in our business, been doing it for 45 years at the highest levels, was let go by the Dallas Morning News years ago in a cost-cutting move. They let him write one column a week. I talked to him the other day. Even that one column might be gone in 2019. Does the Talk of Fame Network with a couple of other guys, but there's always should be a place for Rick Gosselin, for that voice. He does special teams rankings. He's the only guy that does them. Comprehensive special teams rankings every year. And teams take it very seriously. He compiles all these numbers.
I've read him for years.
Yeah,
sure.
Comes up with some, you know, grand total. And
he pencils in the Bucks at 32, and then he starts working.
From there. Yeah. But special teams coaches all around the league, Steve, pay a lot of attention to this from a writer, a sports writer. No fake news when it comes to Rick Gosselin.
All right, Ira, speaking of fake news, I was going to take a shot at somebody, but I'll leave it at that.
Steve, take the high road.
Jameis Winston appeared last week. Radio Row, he comes out, does a bunch of interviews. The guy had not done a national interview that I can tell since he was suspended, you know, back in June. And he certainly didn't do any national interviews after it came out with the whole Uber driver before the suspension. He did sit down with the Ira Kaufman podcast. That was his only sort of comprehensive one-on-one, but what do you make of the significance? Forget about all the different things he said and didn't say, but of Jameis coming out, going national, apparently not worried about getting questions about the suspension or the Uber driver. Nobody asked him about that. What do you make of him sort of reappearing?
I think it's a tacit admission or inclination that from the top, from the organization, Jameis Winston does not appear on Radio Row without the approval of the organization. Not going to happen. He's been sequestered for the most part since the suspension. And now I think he's kind of back to where he was before the suspension in terms of being viewed as a franchise quarterback. New man coming in with Arians. They're not afraid of what he's going to say. They're not afraid of him being you know, one of the most visible representatives of the organization. I look at it as a direct situation from the top of the organization on down. It is not solely a Jameis Winston decision to do Radio Row.
Interesting sage thought there. I'm not sure I agree with you, but we'll let the sage's
words. Wouldn't be the first time, Steve.
We'll let the sage's words stand. Ira, of course.
And he's comfortable doing it where he wasn't coming off the suspension. So I think it's a new Jameis right now. He feels a little revitalized.
It sure seems that
Coach
way to me.
Coach got his back. Coach got his back.
Coach has got his back, and he's got his new agent as well. And, of course, I'll agree with you on the ownership front, Ira, because that $20 million for next year, it's really not official until March something. So
if
he felt that this was not going to be cool, or that he might get exposed with a bunch of questions, or
another scandal's going to
emerge,
or
a protest might come out, somebody sees him at, you know, something like that. Or he just got lucky, and I don't know. But it says something. I don't know what, but it's a good thing, because the Jameis we saw toward the end of the season was a guy who just seemed neutered on the field, off the field, just not himself. So I don't know. Maybe we needed him not to be himself, but we'll find out. One nugget, Ira, I wanted to throw by you. It turns out Ron Jaworski, I thought this was interesting, Ron Jaworski actually was side-by-side with Bruce Arians on that Chiefs squad with Tony Dungy and that Hall of Fame staff.
And he's kept a low profile, Ron has, for a couple of years. He's been low profile. You don't hear much from him.
Yeah, ESPN gave him the boot, and then they wanted him back, and then he just sort of has been doing his golf charity thing.
Didn't he used to do that show with Sal Pal, that analysis show? I think he did
all kinds of shows, yeah. But he clearly is still paying attention. But anyway, I thought it was neat. He was the Chiefs' backup in 89, his last of his 17 seasons. And
that was Dungy and Arians.
And Arians was there. So he had known Arians when he was the Eagles quarterback and Arians was the Temple coach. They got to know each other a little bit, but they became close friends. Similar age guys, were only about a year apart when Arians was coaching and he was the, you know, the sage backup for the Chiefs in that final
season.
Backing
up DeBerg, maybe?
I don't remember.
I think it was Steve DeBerg.
Don't remember.
Yeah.
Anyway, he was sort of downplaying in this interview that he did, downplaying that Arians is really a quarterback guru. He didn't like that term, and I thought that was interesting. Quarterback guru, you know, I don't know about that with Bruce. But he did feel that the number one issue in the game today, as far as coaching, it goes back to Belichick and stuff, is, in his opinion, not the X's and O's, but relating to players, getting them to play for you, and it's just different in the modern game. And he thought Arians is a master of that. He said that you'll see such a discernible difference, and I'm quoting him now, in the way Bruce coaches as opposed to the way other coaches in the past in Tampa Bay have coached. And keep in mind, Jaworski was around here doing the preseason games and has a handle. So I think that was exciting to hear how much different he feels it's going to be around here, knowing who's all the coaches have been. And maybe that's just the biggest problem, is the systemic crappy coaching or non-relating. I don't know.
I think the one thing we're going to see, and not just from Arians, but I think from his staff, higher degree of accountability. You know, Todd Monken told us, and I think you were there, Steve, after a practice last August, he was lamenting how loose practice was the year before. How mistakes wouldn't be pointed out. Let's go on to the next practice. He was disgusted. Monken, you could tell in his voice, but Monken wasn't in charge. And it was lax. It was lax. And, of course, he's talking specifically about the offense. Bad technique by Winston on that pass. Bad route by that guy on that pass. Let's let it go. He thought it got elevated last year. We didn't see it. Of course, we did see it the first 2 weeks. Then it fell back into old habits. Yeah, I don't think you're going to see that this year. I think this is going to be a training camp that is going to be demanding. And what's Arian's line? Coach him up tough. Hug them later. I think the hugs are going to come a lot later. These Buck players better be ready, because they're going to be asked to stretch to the limits.
Which, of course, and we don't have to rehash the whole thing, goes back to all the nonsense of DeSean Jackson. And allegedly that sit-down with Arians and Jackson might be this week. Arians told TMZ, we know that Jackson has been in town. Now, we even learned from you, Ira, through your massive connections, that Jackson has family in town, which we didn't know before. But Jaworski said, I think DeSean Jackson ought to just shut up and play. And Jaworski went on to say, hey, I know him. I've known him for a long time. But come on, who the hell's paying you? It's the Bucks. Shut up. Stop saying you want to go to the Eagles or Rams. I can't imagine Arians would even want to tolerate it. But for some reason, he just is intoxicated by the thought of DeSean Jackson being here.
Don't read too much into this sit down, Steve. Don't read too much into it. He's doing his due diligence. But when the dust settles, if it's all about Winston, which it seems to be, I don't think DeSean Jackson's a good fit for the 2019 Bucks. Although I still think he can be a productive player for somebody else. And if that happens, you wish him luck and you move on.
All right, Sage, as promised, after we hear some great offers from Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon, we'll bring in Joe Henderson, your longtime friend, Folks know him from the Tampa Tribune, the Tampa Bay Times. I know that burns your heart, Ira, saying Tampa Bay Times. But we'll talk to Joe when we come back. All of Ira's work at JoeBucksFan.com and the Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. The Ed Morse name has been on great family-owned dealerships across Florida for more than 70 years, including Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Those are Hillsborough County's only Cadillac dealerships. Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, you've heard General Manager Brian Danahy right here on the podcast. They are just west of 275 on Fletcher, and you want to get to EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. Tremendous new February offers are available now. Taking a look, the 2019 CTS, $279 per month lease. All the details at EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. And many Cadillac select models, 2019s, zero down, zero security, first payment also zero at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. And Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, you've heard Ira talk about them right there on Causeway Boulevard. He was out there, as you remember, talking to a Lightning head coach, John Cooper, and they are a wonderful dealership. Looking at their website, EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com, you'll see 2019 XT5 Luxury, the fantastic crossover that Ira likes so much. $395 per month lease. Get all the details. These offers I've mentioned are only good through the end of the month, but there is so much at the website, EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. And thanks again to Ed Morse for all of their support. Check out JoeBucksFan.com. You'll always see offers there. And let's get back to Ira and Joe Henderson. And for those of you who don't remember Joe or know Joe, many years a reporter and columnist at the Tampa Tribune covering all kinds of sports. He's been around as long or at least as long as Ira. You know, just a wealth of perspective from the Bay Area. And I believe Joe, well, you know what? I'll let Joe and Ira speak for themselves. Here they are. All right, Sage, as promised, we're bringing in your buddy. We're bringing in a ringer here, Joe Henderson. I know you had some things you wanted to talk about with Joe, get his perspective. Just go for it, Sage.
Rightfully so, Stephen. You're a wise man. Joseph, let's look at the big picture first. We just saw a sports dynasty of which the likes we've never seen before may never again. Joe, although you're going to live up to 100, we know that. On the flip side, we have our local Buccaneers. And Joe, the overview of the past 11 years, no playoffs. Is this as bad as the Doug Williams curse years? Is it a little better than that? And in your opinion, what are some of the key contributing facts to 11 years of mostly bad football?
Well, I'll answer your first question. Is this as bad as it's ever been? Two words. Lehman Bennett.
That's pretty strong.
Okay, I'm just saying.
Those were my first 2 years in Tampa,
yeah.
85 and 86.
That was the good ship.
Joe, that's a low bar, Joe. That's a low bar.
That's a low bar. But that was ultimate futility. And this is coming from a guy who, you know, grew up watching the Cincinnati Bengals. So I know futility.
But it's bad.
It's bad. Oh, of course it's bad. The NFL is designed so that nobody can go 11 years without making the playoffs. So you gotta hand it to the Bucs. They've accomplished the impossible.
We broke the mold, baby.
Why, Joe? Why?
Well, starts with player decisions, personnel decisions. That's number one. And you've heard me say this before, but I'm going to say it again. It all began to unravel right after they won the Super Bowl, when the rift between Rich McKay and John Gruden became public. And if you remember, McKay wanted originally to hire Marvin Lewis. I believe he even offered him a contract, which the Glazers said no, as was their right. Okay, so they bring in Gruden at a great cost, but they win the Super Bowl. Everybody's happy. Yay, Bucks. Town's on fire. But what I know from that year, there was a lot of tumultuous moments between Gruden and McKay that finally culminated in Rich ordering his secretary that when John would try to barge into his office to block him and say that he had to get an appointment to see the GM. So that's a true story.
So they coexisted for most of the next season, 03.
Did she wear pads?
Well, you could tell that when from that moment the relationship was not recoverable. Now, if I am the Glazers and I just won the Super Bowl and I'm looking at that gleaming Lombardi trophy out there and I'm going, oh yeah, we did it. And I see this schism developing. I'm going to call both those guys into a room and I'm going to say, look, Rich is the general manager. He gets the players. John, you're the coach. You coach the players. We just won a Super Bowl. We'd like to win more. That's the best way to accomplish it. They didn't do it. So Gruden gets total power, gets his puppet, Bruce Allen, in there, and they start bringing in all these disastrous old guys, retreads, bad heads, and so on. Starts a spiral that culminated in Raheem Morris.
What about some of these coaching choices, Joe?
Well, you know, the whole logic behind Raheem was that they had Mike Tomlin on the staff with the Bucks, and they saw what he was doing in Pittsburgh, and they said, we're not going to let that happen again. We believe Raheem can be that guy. Okay, you're going to swing and miss on one.
They went young.
They went young, and people forget he did have a 10-win season, although there was some mitigating circumstances behind that, but he did have a 10-win season. But, Ira, the year after that, you covered that team. I covered that team. That team absolutely quit on him the last 2 months of the season.
It's a harsh word, but it's appropriate.
It's totally appropriate. So, okay, so he has to go. So you just had, they try to get Chip Kelly.
Players coach.
And, oh, okay, that didn't work out. In comes Greg Schiano. Now, I am not as down on Schiano and what he tried to do here as other people. I think the Glazers might have pulled the trigger a little bit too quickly on that. But, you know, they're the owners. Lovie Smith, you know, disaster. Yeah, I'm going to play the Tampa 2 because it worked 10 years ago. And, you know, I remember that we had John Lynch and Derek Brooks and all those guys back there. And you know, it's going to work. Didn't work. So you bring in the quarterback whisperer, Dirk. He has second year. He has winning. So, okay, things are turning around. We got the franchise quarterback with an asterisk. And then we see what happened this last season. So now it's on to Bruce Arians. I do feel a little more optimistic about Arians. He, of all the guys that they've had in since Gruden, he's the most proven. And I think he's rejuvenated being here. And I think there's reason for hope.
You think he's still got his passion, Joe?
I think so. I think if he didn't, his wife would have said, are you out of your mind? We're not moving to Tampa. You're not doing that again. But
it also seems clear to me, Joe, that he's going to be grooming one or two guys for a possible succession. Do you see a succession plan, Joe, in the planning?
Well, maybe in the background, but in the National Football League, a succession plan like you're talking about is like, who do we play next week?
So, and it only works if you're winning. It only works.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm glad Joe said that because it's got to be the last thing on your mind. That's the last thing he can possibly worry about, especially things happen to people. He doesn't know if somebody rushes in and gives Todd Bowles an amazing offer for a head coaching job next year. You think Bruce Arians is going to stand in his old friend's way?
Of course not.
Of course not. So, it's about now. You know, a lot of people have good feelings about Arians right now. I'm glad Joe mentioned also his wife. One of the things that came out of the Super Bowl week was Carson Palmer did an interview where he very earnestly seemed to express that, man, Arians was having some serious health problems in 2017. And Palmer said he was happy that his wife thought he was healthy enough. Forget the doctors. His wife thought he was healthy enough to come back and coach. That told Palmer he is ready.
Joe, we're working with Jameis Winston. All year round, starting in April. Will that have a deleterious effect on Mr. Arians' health, or do you think this could be a happy marriage?
Well, the jury's out on that one. But no, I don't.
How are you feeling about Winston right now?
Neither hot nor cold. I would say I'm lukewarm because he has proven very little to me or this community. The suspension is gonna dog him for a while.
He's now in year five. He's not a rookie anymore.
He's not a rookie. You don't keep making the kind of stupid mistakes out there that he has made. So, does he have the ability? I guess. But by now, I would have expected to see a lot more of it, especially with the weapons he's been provided.
Some Winston supporters, Joe, point to a mediocre offensive line, a plodding running game as factors that are hindering Winston's development. Fair?
Totally fair. And I will emphasize the point of the piddling running game, because if you want to get defenses off of him, if you want to make him have a moment of pause, if you will, you have got to have a hammer back there as a running back. And I know everybody's going to be out there going, what are you talking about? This game is has evolved. It's all about passing and all that. But look at what the Rams did this year with the running backs they had. Look at the difference Michelle made for the Patriots.
Look what New England did in the playoffs.
Yeah.
With the running game.
So you got to have a running back that makes the other team respect.
Is it the back or the blocking, Joseph?
I think it's the back more than the blocking, frankly. So I would hope that maybe in free agency or, you know, in our total dream detached from reality scenario, Le'Veon Bell, that, you know, get somebody back there that can force a defense to go, okay, we're going to have to pick our poison here, and that's going to help Jameis open up his game a little bit.
Well, it's what we all hope for, Ira, but, you know, Jason Light, of course, did tell us in his last public speaking, Ira, that this is a historic offense that we just witnessed in 2017, said it was one of the best of all time. So, I mean, how could Jameis not develop in such an offense?
And we pointed out that they finished 12th in scoring, which is not terrible, but it's not historic, does it?
No. Maybe for the Bucs it's historic.
Joe, what do you feel about the DeSean Jackson situation? I'm on record saying I don't think it makes sense to bring him back. You can let him go for year three. I think he's still productive. I'm not saying he's a bum. I just don't think he makes sense for this team, Joe.
Well, I would ask one question before I would let him go. Is you ask, can Bruce Arians salvage Jameis Winston? How does DeSean Jackson feel about Bruce Arians? If he's saying, now, wait a minute, I like this, then you keep him around. If he's going, nah, get me out of here, then bye.
Joe, do you think there'd be a danger if he's on the team that Jameis would try to force him the ball, knowing that he had been discontented in the past?
No, because I think if that was the case, Bruce Arians would rip Jameis a new one.
And that wouldn't last very long,
that
right?
Would not that would happen like one time, and that would be the last time.
I agree with that, although I still hope that, like hell, he's not on this team. Joe, I got to ask you, since you're here, you worked with Ira for what, 74 years, something like that?
Something like that.
40 years, 30 years. Give the great listeners to Ira a fantastic Ira story. What's your favorite Ira story?
Oh, my gosh. Whoa. Well, my favorite Ira story, I go back to the infamous Gruden-McKay relationship, and I get a call from Ira, from the NFL owners meetings in, believe it was Phoenix. And he goes, Henderson? I said, uh-oh, this is going to be good. And he proceeds to tell me that he was in a bar at the meetings.
At the hotel,
yeah. After working hours, of course. And that Gruden was there and ripping Rich McKay up one side and down the other to, not only to him, but to, say it, Ira.
Everybody that passed by, every gentleman. And this was 6 weeks after the Super Bowl.
6 weeks. I mean, they haven't even had to polish
the
trophy yet.
That's right.
So he's going, what do I do with this?
It's in a public setting.
It's in a public setting. I said, were there other reporters there? Yeah, about 20 of them. I said, Ira, if one person knows it, more than one person knows it, everybody knows it. And
Gruden had a couple. He had a couple of beers.
Yeah. And so, as I recall,
So I didn't write it at the time. And Rick Goslin, who we're talking about, I went up to him at the meeting. I saw him the next day. I told Rick what happened. I go, what do I do? And Goslin quoted a guy named Blackie Sherrod.
Oh, yeah.
It's the greatest line I've ever heard in sports journalism. I said, Goose, should I write this up or not? And he said, Ira, in the immortal words of Blackie Sherrod, who was a longtime Dallas sports
legend.
Writer, write it or read it. That is a tremendous line. I did not write it for the rest of the week.
And you read it.
And and then Emmitt Smith, who was being talked about to join the Bucks as a free agent that year, was at some kind of a dinner Friday night, and Shireen Williams was at that dinner. It was in Dallas. And they asked Emmitt Smith, where are you going? And somebody mentioned Tampa, and Emmitt Smith said, I ain't going to Tampa because I hear the coach and the GM don't get along down there. And then it showed up as a small item in the Times, and then I wrote it on Monday, and it was the day that Gruden and Rich McKay, can't make this up, both combined and threw out the first ball at Ray's opening day.
Tropicana Field.
And the headline that day, while they're throwing out the first ball, giant rift between McKay and Gruden. I've never seen anything like it. Joe, 6 weeks after winning.
6 weeks.
6 weeks.
That's fantastic. That is fantastic. Well, Joe, I got to ask you as we wrap up with you here, as far as the state of this town, because you've been around town watching the media develop, change, shift, whatever, where do you think the Bucks coverage has gone and just maybe what the team gets away with now versus what they didn't? A situation like Ira's might not even happen because, reporters aren't even at the owners' meetings like they used to be en masse years ago. So, I don't know. What, do you have any thoughts in general about the state of life
and
here?
Where do you think the Bucks are in the Tampa sports landscape?
Exactly.
Well, the last question first. I think they're still number one. People may say, don't pay any attention to them. I think they do. I think if they begin to have the kind of season that everybody hopes they will, that you'll see the enthusiasm renewed.
It's still pro football, right, Joe?
It's still pro football. But as far as the media coverage, there's only one newspaper in town now, unfortunately. And I believe even my friends at the Times would say that it was better when we had competitors. The resources aren't what they were, but what you see now that we didn't really battle that much back then is that even if the local media can't be at something, the Adam Schechters of the world and Mortensen and all the rest, they're going to probably be the ones to break that the Bucks are hiring a new coach. Everything breaks on Twitter now. And so it's problematic for local media in that regard because, maybe you don't have the relationship with the agents or whoever, and that's where all that stuff comes from.
Yeah, I think just to set a little perspective, I remember 15 years ago, I think it was the first time, maybe 16 years ago, something like that, first time the Bucks let me, or the Tribune let me go out and cover a Bucks preseason game. And there were like, 13 reporters covering the game. This guy's got a sidebar on this, and this guy's got this. And a virtual SWAT team. And it's never going
to
be like that again.
We sent 25 people to the Super Bowl, Joe.
Yes, we did. And we used to, at the Tribune, we would have at least two reporters at the conference championship games, both of them.
Yeah.
We would have a minimum of four reporters at the Super Bowl. And I believe you're just not going to see that from newspapers anymore, but you will see it from online sites, and that's where a site or like yours.
Talk about the rise of the ancillary sites, as papers struggle.
Well, and this is what Joe Bucks fan not only fills a void, it expands the options for people because people can tell the difference if you're telling them something they don't know versus just hot air. And if you're giving them information and maybe it's hyper-focused or whatever, but that's fine because it fills a niche and it really puts what you call the mainstream media kind of makes them play defense a little bit.
Joe, these guys monitor every time a buck speaks on any kind of site anywhere. They report it and have what the guy says.
Well, that's the reason that this site has been around as long as it has.
Well, I mean, that was part of the whole point I was, in some ways, I was trying to make, guys, is that, you know, imagine if that hyper-focused mindset was there 15 years ago when the newspapers could have put 10 guys on the Bucks beat and gathering all these nuggets and, I don't know, and, you know, as things have changed, I don't know if it's good or better, but you guys back in the day, I think, were able to get so much more about the team just because of manpower in the locker room. When somebody hears one thing, they can pass it to you, Ira, to follow up on, and it's just
Joe,
a different life.
Do you think the arrival of Jeff Vinnick and what he's done and what he's doing in downtown Tampa, above and beyond being the owner of a very good hockey team, Joe, what impact has Vinnick made on the local sports landscape?
Well, I'll answer that this way. My oldest son, Ben, who's now in his 30s, was just growing up when the Bucks were the Brooks Sapp, all, you know, they were the juggernaut. Well, Ben professed then not to like what he called American football because he liked soccer. And he said, he announced to me very proudly one night that he was adopting the Lightning because nobody was following them. And when they got good, he was going to be able to say.
And they weren't very good at the
time. They weren't very good. But he learned the game. He's a season ticket holder. And by the way, he loves pro football now, too. He keeps winning the fantasy league he got me into, and that's really annoying.
What's he say about the atmosphere at a Lightning game?
Well, it's tremendous. People feel like they're getting value. And they're also not roasting under 98-degree heat.
Are the things the Bucks could do for the fan experience, Joe, off the top of your head, a couple of things? I mean,
I think they could win more games. That would help the
win
fan
some
experience.
Games, free beer, a playoff game.
But,
you know,
Joe, football televises so well. It's a real problem. It's a real problem getting people out to the game.
Well, it is. You look at, like, USF football. All right, now, they struggled this last year, but generally it's a pretty good product. They can't get anybody to go to the games because every game's on TV and you don't want to go sit out in the heat or the rain or whatever.
The parking and the
parking,
whatever.
Parking, all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many ways to look at that, Ira, but we wanted to get some perspective from Joe. And, Ira, you know, I got to cut it short today, unfortunately, but we'll be back tomorrow. Lee will be back tomorrow, and we've got all kinds of Super Bowl nuggets and some fresh stuff on the Bucks as well.
Where can we find some of your stuff, Joe?
Well, you can find me all over the place. I'm on TampaBay.com, which had a column the other day about a man you and I both respected immensely.
What day's your stuff post online?
On Thursday, and it's news generally. I also write for FloridaPolitics.com. All my liberal stuff out there.
And you've been known to show up on a local television station.
It happens from time to time.
Okay.
All right, Ira. You know, we always end with you delivering some sort of address from your the bowels of your sageness. Fire away to Bucks fans. We'll get out of here.
All right. I'm just going to do my own little shout out to Rick Goslin, who Joe has met several times, knows the reputation he has. Belichick, you are forever in my debt because you went out of your way to salute a grizzled newspaper man, and we need more of that. And you know what? Shame on the Dallas Morning News for not respecting the contributions of Richard Goslin. Goodbye, everybody.